my fetters, thou hast made me free. Liberty and gladness I have found in thee. 309 on page 301. We'll stand as we sing together. In the Lord's presence, let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We do beseech thee, O God, tonight that thou wilt meet with us and bless us in this time together around thy feet and around thy word. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast gathered us together in thy name. And we pray, O God, that tonight something will be wrought here that will bring great glory and honor to thy name. And something will be wrought in a heart and a life here tonight that will, O God, cause souls to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for that effectual call to be heard in the hearts of men and women tonight. We pray there'll be those tonight who will forsake their sin. There'll be those tonight who will give up their sin. There will be those tonight who will repent and believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the power in Jesus' blood to cleanse the vilest sinner, that the vilest sinner who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. There is pardon for every sin. We thank thee, O God, that every sin has to go neath the cleansing flow. And we rejoice tonight that you're able to save to the uttermost. And we pray, O God, that you would save tonight, even in this meeting. We pray for those backslidden in heart and life, that thou wilt bring them back. Bring them back, Lord, to thyself. That thou wilt restore unto them the joy of thy salvation. And grant, O God, that thou wilt bring them into a close walk and relationship with God again. Heavenly Father, we look to Thee that Thou wouldst hear our prayers, that Thou wilt be with us. Remember those who are sick and cannot be here tonight because of sickness. We pray that Thou wilt restore them to health and strength. Others, O God, who have long-term illnesses, and we pray especially for them that You'll draw near to them and comfort them, and Lord, that You will touch them. We pray, O God, for those who have grown careless just in their church attendance. And Lord, we pray that Thou will stir their hearts again. Give them an interest in the house of God and the work of God and in the means of grace. And we pray that Thou will stir them to be present at the house of God. Answer prayer, we pray of Thee. Bless throughout our land and all our sister churches and everywhere the gospel is truly preached. We pray for the moving of God across this world tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. And for God's eternal glory. Amen. Hymn number 323. And we'll stand as we sing together. 323. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. 323 on page 307. We'll stand as we sing together. Natasha is going to come and bring her first message and song to us now. Thank you.
Way back on Calvary, the
to thank Natasha. It's great to hear about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the old hymns and the old songs of Zion are good. And we thank God for that tonight. We're going to read together from the Gospel of John tonight. The Gospel of John and the chapter 8. John chapter 8, we're reading together from this portion of God's Word tonight. John chapter 8, beginning to read at verse 28, let us hear the Word of God. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever. But the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. Ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, We be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired inerrant and infallible word. We do welcome you tonight. If you're visiting, we give you a very special welcome to our service tonight. Could I just remind you of the meetings through the week? First of all, today is our building fund hymn, and it's the hymn number 325, Keeping Our Seats as the Offerings for the Lord's Work are Received. I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. 325, and it's on page 308, and we'll keep our seats for the first part as we sing together this hymn. verse, please. Natasha will come with her final piece to us, please. Thank you. Bless that ministry and song again. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let us bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak tonight from John chapter 8. And the subject is the greatest liberation of all. The greatest liberation of all. John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. After darkness, light. These words were used to describe the wonderful events of the Reformation over 500 years ago, and fittingly so. They were also used this week in reference to the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, the Nazi death camp in Poland, where many Jews died at the hands of the evil, wicked Hitler and his henchmen. As we think of that liberation of 75 years ago, we could also say, after captivity, liberty. And after death, life. The horrors of the concentration camps, the gas chambers, the genocide on a mammoth proportion, starvation, malnutrition, torture, and death. The terrible injuries inflicted on those survivors. The most awful traumas that they experienced. And they never thought they would see the light of day. Yet the Nazis were defeated. And those survivors in that death camp were liberated. They stared death in the face. But yet, those who came out of it lived. The story of the Holocaust is one of the most horrible and dreadful in all of history. About 1.1 million people, mostly Jews, were murdered at the Auschwitz camp in Nazi-occupied Poland. And I know some of you have visited that camp and seen there something of the horrors and the history of that particular situation. One spoke of his liberation in these terms, and I quote, "It's just a miracle that we all survived, because in normal circumstances, this never happened." At 9 years of age, he spent 8 months in that camp. "It was horrible," he says. "Every day we experienced beating, seeing people all around us dying, and the smell of burning corpses. Our supervisors were mainly SS women. They were worse than the men. If you stepped out of line, you got a beating. Even just because someone didn't keep their place clean. Many times they had to stand in the morning for an hour in minus 15 degrees centigrade for a roll call." This, my friend, is but a small sample of what went on in the Nazi death camps. Darkness, deprivation, horrible cruelty, and death itself. It is indeed, my friends, a terrible picture of man's inhumanity to man. But there were those who knew the joy of deliverance. And this deliverance, my friends, tonight speaks to us of an even greater deliverance. That which is brought to men and women and young people through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word of God speaks to us in those terms here, in these texts in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
And I want to speak tonight in the closing moments of our service on the greatest liberation of all. May the Lord, by His Spirit, apply His Word to your heart tonight. Three simple things that I want to draw out as we think about this particular theme tonight. First of all, the person who is the liberator. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It says in verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free." The Son of God, and He it is who snaps the fetters of sin. And He it is who sets the captive soul free. He it is who brings us out of the prison house of sin and death and gives us liberty. Liberty from bondage, from the awful slavery of sin in which men find themselves in. I'm singing tonight earlier, "Thou hast snapped my fetters. Thou hast made me free." You see, by nature, we are the servants of sin. We are the slaves of sin. And the Bible tells us here in verse 34, "Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." John Newton was a slave, not only in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. If you've never read the story of John Newton, then I advise you to get a copy of it and read it for yourself. But while he was a slave to sin, God met him and he experienced the amazing grace of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ set him free. And he was able to later write the words of his testimony, which we were singing tonight earlier in the service. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." Maybe you too have met the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you too tonight have been liberated in your soul from the bondage of sin. The hymn writer could say, "My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Have your chains fallen off? Have your fetters been broken tonight? Has your heart gone free? If it hasn't, thank God it can happen tonight, even in this meeting. When you think about the person who is the liberator, we think here of the Son of God, and we think of the Son of God who planned to liberate souls in bondage. You see, from all eternity, it was God's plan that the Son would come into this world to deliver souls from the bondage of corruption and bring them into the liberty of the sons of God. This was not something decided in time. It was something determined in eternity, in the counsels of God, in eternity past. And then it was done in time. The Lord Jesus Christ came, and He came to be the Savior of sinners. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." And we thank God for that coming. We thank God for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and that plan from all eternity that Jesus should come to be the Savior of His people. The Son of God planned to liberate, but the Son of God purchased our liberty. You see, while the Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, He died an atoning death. And we've heard that tonight even in the message and song that our sister has just sung. He purchased our salvation by His death. The death that He died on Calvary's cross and the blood that He shed for our redemption. Paul wrote these words in Ephesians 1 and 7. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through whose blood? The Savior's blood. The blood of the Son of God. Even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Paul, in speaking to the church at Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he said this, the church of God, whom he hath purchased with his own blood. What a price was paid by the Son of God as he laid down his life on Calvary's cross. You think of the price that was paid by so many to bring about the liberty for those who were liberated from that death camp. What a price was paid in the lives of so many people. Across the years of the Second World War. That liberty came at a tremendous cost. And the liberty, my friends, purchased at Calvary came about when the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid down his life on that cross for sinners. The Son of God has power to liberate. He has power to set souls free. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. He's able. He's able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, come to him for rest. He is able to deliver thee. In this passage of God's word, we think of the power of the word. You'll notice the emphasis on the word here in this context we've read from tonight. In verses 38 to 47. You see, it speaks here in verse 32 of the truth that shall make you free. The word of God. The power of the word. You see, the Bible teaches the words like a hammer. It breaketh a rock in pieces. The word's like a fire that burneth into the hearts of men and women. The word is that word that divides asunder and discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sharpness of the word is like a two-edged sword. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And thank God tonight for the power that the Son of God has to set souls free. The soul enslaved in sin cannot free himself, no matter how hard he tries, but the Savior comes to set that soul free. The power of the Word. But then there's the power of the blood, and we've heard that sung about tonight so beautifully. There is power in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. There is no salvation, my friend. There is no liberation for the captive soul without the application of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is power to cleanse the vilest sinner. Here is power to lift souls out of that horrible pit and quagmire of corruption and depravity and set their feet upon a rock. The church cannot liberate. No creed or ceremony of a church can do this, but Christ can. Liberty and gladness I have found in thee. It's found in Christ tonight, the person who is the liberator. Oh, that you might know him tonight. The Bible says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Will you acquaint yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be saved? Oh, that you might come now and trust in the Savior. And then I want you to think, secondly tonight, about the people who are liberated. It says in these verses here, if the Son therefore shall make you free, verse 36, ye shall be free indeed. You see, those who commit sin are sinners. They are sinners. Like you and me. The Bible speaks of sinners and the Bible speaks of sinning. Remember, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in this category. We're not excluded, we're included tonight. Well, there are some who will strongly contend, perhaps even tonight, and say, oh, I'm not a sinner. I haven't committed sin. And there are people going about in society today and perhaps even sitting in churches today who believe that they're not sinners. But the Word of God says all have sinned. All. Doesn't give an exclusion to anyone. But praise God, those who have committed sin can be liberated. Those whose sins are many can have those sins taken away. Some will say, oh, my sins are only little sins. They're just small sins, but they are still sins. Others will say, my sins are too great. They're so shameful. They're so sinful. I could never be free from the fetters of these sins. I'm so guilty. My past is so horrid. My life is so wicked and evil. My heart is so stained by these sins that those stains could never be erased. But you see, the Lord Jesus Christ not only liberates from so-called little sins or small sins, but He liberates from all sin. All sin. You are included among those whom the Lord came to liberate. The Apostle Paul mentions many sins, heinous sins. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look at this portion of God's Word and see the sins that are mentioned here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verses 9 to 10. And Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These are the type of sins that Paul mentions. Dark, terrible sins. But then he goes on in verse 11. I want you to see it tonight. Such were some of you, he said. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You see, there's salvation for the worst of sinners. There's salvation from the worst of sin. From the darkest and deep dyed sinners. There is salvation tonight. The people who are liberated. Servants of sin. Slaves to sin. That's the thought here. In other words, they cling to it. They're living a life of sin. All they live for is that sin. Or those sins. They're in bondage. They're under the power of Satan. The slave, the master of all sinful people. And how real that bondage is for many tonight. Perhaps even you who hear the preaching of the Word of God tonight. In time without number, you find yourself enslaved by that habit. You seek to break free only to be entangled by it again. You'll notice, of course, that the slave does not have any permanent standing in the master's house. Look here at verse 35 of the passage in John 8. The servant abideth not in the house forever. That's what it says. At any time he could be sold, he could be hauled away to a worse captivity. This was the haunting horror of every slave in the deep south of the United States of America during the slave trade, before emancipation. A change in the master's fortunes, a dislike taken to a slave, or a more attractive offer from another slave owner could lead to the sale of the slave. Marriage, children, personal preference, prayers, supplications made no difference. A slave was a slave, had no rights, no status, no say in his future. And such are all who are slaves of sin. You think of the children of Israel there in Egypt, how they were in servitude, they were in bondage. But the Lord redeemed them from that slavery. They were liberated. Even so, Christ hath redeemed sinners. Free from the law, happy condition. Jesus has died, and there is remission, cursed by the law and bruised by the fall. Christ hath redeemed us once for all. The power to liberate. People who are liberated. And you and I tonight, through the work of Christ, through what Christ has done, thank God there's liberty for you, even in this service tonight. You can be brought to know Christ, to trust Him, even as your own and personal Savior. Oh, it might be so tonight. I want you to see not only the people who are liberated, but I want you to see the product of this liberation. Look at verse 36. Ye shall be free indeed. You see, in contrast with their slavery, Jesus set His sonship. Look at verse 35, what it says here. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. The Son abideth ever. You think of Isaac and Ishmael. In the house of Abraham, Ishmael was the son of the bondwoman, slave born with no lasting standing in Abraham's house. Isaac, by contrast, remained in the house, was his father's heir. A much greater than Isaac, son of a much greater father than Abraham, was now speaking. He would remain in the house forever. I want you to see this tonight. As for the Jews and their boast of freedom, even at this moment God was preparing to cast them out of the house into a bondage that would last for a millennia. But the Son is the emancipating one. Jesus can break sin's fetters and set the soul free. And countless are the testimonies of those down through the centuries of time who have been set free. The Lord Jesus Christ has delivered souls from filthy and lying tongues, from passion and lust, from the most binding and horrible habits. He has set the soul free. And the Bible says here, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I want you to see this. You see, Jesus Christ in the gospel offers us our freedom. He has authority and power to make free, to discharge prisoners. And this He does in our justification by making satisfaction for our guilt. He has power to rescue bond slaves, and this He does in sanctification. He has power to naturalize strangers and foreigners. This He does in adoption. We are free indeed. And Paul said of adoption there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, ye have not received the spirit of bondage, listen to it, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And you think about adoption, you think about the shorter catechism definition, and it says this part of that definition about adoption, we are received into the number and have a right to all the privileges of the sons of God. We are received into the number. The number of God's people. And it is a freedom. Brought into the family of God. Having a right to all of the privileges of the sons of God. You see, those whom Christ makes free are free indeed. The liberty which Christ gives in a certain thing, it is real and has real effects. None are free indeed but those whom Christ makes free. Have you known the freedom of Christ that He gives? That the gospel brings to those who trust? Are you free indeed tonight? It is this freedom that comes through God's wonderful salvation. Have you experienced God's wonderful salvation tonight? I was watching a program during the week about the Windermere children. Maybe some of you saw that program. Heart-wrenching story about these children liberated from Auschwitz in Poland, the Nazi death camp that we've been speaking of. They were brought to the Lake District in England. They were free. Those children on the bus, you see their faces. They were free, but understandably and initially, it seemed like a dream. They found it so difficult to grasp. The fact that they were free, they could run out into open spaces. They would have food set down before them without having to try to fight with their fellow person in order to get a piece of bread. It was all set before them. They had so many blessings and privileges that were denied them by those who treated them so cruelly and so awfully. Then it dawned upon them. It was like the dawning of a new day. After darkness, light. After captivity, liberty. They were free indeed. In fact, there's one of those young fellows. He runs out. He runs out into the open space. He runs down to the lake. And he splashes up the water. A wonderful sight. It's worthy of viewing just to see that program, to see what happened. But how much more, my friend, in the gospel of Jesus Christ is their freedom. How much more? I was reading this week something of Samuel Rutherford. I love to read about this great man of God. It's entitled Freedom True. He was at this time in Aberdeen. He was imprisoned. He says, I am now every way in good terms with Christ. He has set a banished prisoner as a seal on his heart, as a bracelet on his arm. I love Christ's glooms better than the world's worm-eaten joys. My loss is gain. My sadness is joyful. My bonds liberty, my tears comfortable. This world is not worth a drink of cold water. Here's a man incarcerated for the cause of Christ, but yet, as far as the gospel is concerned, emancipated. Liberated. Free indeed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the freedom tonight that is offered to you in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be your portion tonight. The Bible says here, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask of Thee that Thou wilt write Thy word upon the hearts of those that have gathered. We pray that Thou wilt speak tonight through that word. May it be a liberating word for some soul or souls here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to our closing hymn tonight. 273 in our hymn book. 273. I hear Thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to Thee for cleansing in Thy precious blood that flowed
on Calvary. 273 on page 286. We'll stand as we sing together. A need tonight, and the Lord has revealed that need to you in your heart without Christ, do come and speak to us. If you're a backslider, come back to the Lord. We're here, your servant, for Jesus' sake. Don't leave without the Savior. Father, we pray that thou wilt cause men and women to think about their souls tonight. Think about eternity. Oh God, we pray that they may think about their need for this liberation, this liberty that the gospel brings. And we pray that that will be their portion tonight. Lord, give them that gift of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.